Okay. I hope that it be. Ebenezer.
Yes.
Are you on your, are you on the app on your computer?
No, I'm
on your phone. Okay, okay. Yeah. So, okay.
What that
Nini internet in a misbehave, but it's fine. It's okay.
Okay.
So, for me to say that there are people who are born, I'm not saying that there are people who've been designated, and thus other people cannot be used in certain capacities because they were not born to be in those capacities. Okay? I do not want you to develop self-esteem issues because you think of yourself as having not been born to occupy certain spaces that God intends for like what we call the prestigious spaces, okay? Because we suffer the risk of training a church that the entire church wants to be God's generals. Okay? So we serve the risk of training a church where everybody wants to be God's general, because we've amplified the space of the calling, especially of people who've devoted themselves completely to being used of God. So we amplify that space and we forget that these people were not created special from the womb. When God tells Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I knew you," it is not a specific statement. It is not a specific statement to Jeremiah. It is applicable to every one of us. So when I say there are people who've been born to cry out, I am not demeaning that space of those that cry out for the move of God and those that are used to orchestrate that move or to be the answer to that prayer. I'm not demeaning the space of the sword by amplifying the space of the tip of the sword. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So I am not doing that by any means, but I want you to understand that the place that we are in, it is decisional, it is positional, it is hearing, it is a provoking in the spirit, it is discernment, it is knowing the moments that brings you to the place where God can use you to be an answer to certain prayers. Okay. Are we together? So as we were praying, God was illustrating to me the point that there are people who've designated themselves and not provided themselves to be answers to certain prayers. So they keep making the prayers. And this is the thing, the people who make the prayers are so many. The nation cries out. The creation cries out. Everything is crying out. But no one is positioning themselves. No one is taking up. No one is causing themselves to take up the position to be used as an answer to the cry of nations, to the cry of creation. Or rather, if we are doing it, we are not doing it adequately. So if everyone is born again, then that means that everyone has been born into a priesthood. Everyone has been born into kingship. Everyone has been born to be used affluently and to be used completely to the extent of the potential of the Spirit of God. in orchestrating the answers and the mandate of the Spirit of God. All right? All right? So you and I ought to come to this space where we create ourselves as available. We create ourselves not only as available, but as usable. Okay? Because you can be available and not usable. We create ourselves as available and usable to produce the answers. And you have to understand that when Moses was available and used, he had killed someone. He had just come from killing an Egyptian. But there are moments that are spiritual in nature that dictate if you are available or if you are usable, and it has nothing to do with the physical state of how you are living your life. I know that's a bit on the edge. It's a bit confusing, especially if you have lived a righteous life, or if you have been, you have lived a righteous life so that God can use you, and it ends up that your righteousness becomes filthy rags, and you wonder why God is using those that you deem as not righteous. You deem as not usable, but these are people who position themselves in the Spirit to be usable and available in the terms of the Spirit. 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 And after they have positioned themselves, you begin to see a repercussion of them being usable and available, trickling down to their physical and that which we can actually see. Okay, so it is not a designation of being born that you are rubber stamped from your mother's womb, so that you are rubber stamped to be a prophet. You have been, and some people are not. No, it is a matter of being available, a matter of positioning, a matter of being at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and it is not entirely physical. It is not entirely physical that you are found in church carrying speakers and always singing. It is not physical that you've always been carrying your pastor's Bible. It is not that. It is not that. Because that does not, if it does not come from, if your positioning does not come from the place of understanding, then your availability and your usability is in question again. So as we grow, we ought to understand the juggle of the spiritual and the physical. When the spiritual turns into the physical and when the physical turns into the spiritual, we have to be very keen to understand when is it that the physical is a guarantee of availability and usability, and when is it that the spiritual is a guarantee of availability and usability. So if it is in the physical that you need to be available and usable, you present yourself positioned, or if it is in the Spirit that you need to find yourself usable and available, you present yourself positioned. What am I trying to say? This is an example that can at least help you understand what I'm trying to say. You can be serving at your local church, devoted there an hour before time, there 6 hours before time. You understand what I'm saying? When service starts at 8, you have the people who come there at 5:30 to make sure everything is running, to make sure like you are serving, you are diligently serving. But in the realm of the spirit, you are not planted in the right house. So physically, you are available and usable, but when it comes to where you are supposed to be, where you're supposed to be planted, you are not. So you miss out on positioning, not because you are not in church and available, but because you had not sought the spirit on where you ought to be available physically. I have a friend of mine who I admire so much. And this friend of mine, I pray and believe that he knows, and this is the direction of God for his life. But I trust that he knows, and this is the direction of the Lord for his life. This guy has been in a certain church for so long. And every time we ask him, what are you doing in that church? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing there? Like, we can't understand. What is it that you are doing there? Like, we don't understand. Like you guys, you move out. You guys, this church you are going to does not... I am attending, but he says that this is where God has called me. This is where God has positioned me. And no matter the pressure we have decided to put on him, he has stuck to his guns that this is the place where God has positioned me. And there's something that I ought to do in this place. He understands. He has sought the spirit on his placement, on his planting. So, church yake inaweza kosa kuwa na, you know, the move of the spirit. Unajua, because church zenyu mnaimbanga paka mnakuwa na goosebumps, paka mnaanguka, mnaamka, alafu mnatoka hapo hivi mko tu like, wow, leo kulikuwa moto, leo it was fire. Church yao inaweza kosa kuwa hivyo. But this guy is receiving the exact same portion as you are, because in the spirit he is available and usable and positioned well. So when there is a cry for God to move in his church, the chances of him being the answer to that prayer are high, because he's been positioned and available. You understand what I'm saying? Because what we are seeking God for goes beyond, what we are crying to God for goes beyond what happens when we gather to pray. It goes beyond the understanding of what presence is, our understanding of what his presence is, our understanding of what his move is. So God is calling us to be answers. He's asking us to position ourselves, to interrogate, to look at, to search out, so that we can position ourselves rightly when it comes to being to the physical state of positioning. When it comes to the to the spiritual state of positioning, we ought to position ourselves rightly. You understand that. The mother to Moses understood where Moses needed to be when he was a child, so that he can be the answer to the cry of the children of Israel. They might not have an understanding where they would speak it, but in them they knew, manze, Moses cannot die, so I ought to put him in the river. And not only do I ought to put him in the river, I will send his sister with him, so that the sister can take care of the floating basket, so that the sister can take care of Moses. And when Moses, like Moses was His life was pre-programmed because of a people who were awake. They were awake. They were awake. Their instincts were, they were not human instincts at the time. It was not the love of a mother and the fear of a mother of losing a son that directed, what was her name? What Jina Mama Moses ilikuwa? Miriam. Siski Lucy. Jochebed. Where?
Miriam was the sister.
Miriam was the sister.
Yeah.
Or Miriam, the mother was Jochebed.
Yeah, that's that funny name. Yeah.
Hey, walimu wangu wa Sunday school. You understand that it was not the instinct, the motherly instinct in her. It was not the natural motherly instinct that caused her to put Moses on the raft in the river. It was God. It was an awakening in her. She was woke at that time and knew exactly what to do. Even the instruction of sending Miriam with her and the wisdom in Miriam to ask Pharaoh's daughter if she needed a maid to take care of Moses. Okay. And as Moses grows up, his positioning becomes even more evident. And his decisions become even more evident, so that when the children of Israel cry out, there were so many men that could be answers, but they had not been positioned. Wasema kuwa wendi we shuta. Isaiah 60.
Mbae haja wai kushindwa. Nina imani.
Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedah shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are those who fly like a cloud and like doves a hare? And like doves to their roosts, surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver, their gold with them to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and the kings in procession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish. The nation shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you. The cypress, the pine, the box tree together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also, the sons of those who are afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and the milk and milk the breast of kings. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace. Amen. Amen. May you receive that in the name of Jesus. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness shall, no, for the brightness shall be the shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. The Lord will be to you your an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall all be righteous. Amen. 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 Your people shall all be righteous. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. That's the word of the Lord. The reason I'm reading the entire chapter is that you can see the things that you are being called to arise into. Because so many a time we read, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and it ends there. And if it goes further, it goes a little bit further. It just goes a little bit further, but we never get to internalize what it is that we are being called to arise into, and the providence and the magnitude of us coming to the place where we arise. There is a constantness in the light coming. There's a constantness in the light coming. Your light has come because your light is God. It's constant that he has decided to come. But our arising and our shining is not a constant in the equation. So we are called to arise and shine, but we never see, we never internalize what it is that we've been called to arise into, and the things that have been proclaimed over us when we arise and shine, the things that we walk into when we arise and shine. Today we are provoking the uprising. So we find that we've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for revival and praying for revival and praying for revival, praying for revival, praying for the move of God, praying for all those things, for all these things, the capture, the dominance, kingdom manifestation. But we are not adequately positioning ourselves to arise and shine, not only because we have been limited in the place of fathering for information. That it's not the inadequacy of information, it is us being content with the place of constantly praying for revival. So we've been content at the place of praying for revival, but we are not seeking to know how we should arise so that the things that we've been praying for, so that we can literally be the answers of the people who've been crying out. So why is it that we are rising and shining? Why is it that we ought to arise and shine? Why is there a burden for us to arise and shine? Where will this bronze go? Where will the kings come to lie prostrate when we have not understood that it is because of that he is causing his light, he is causing his light to shine upon us? After the reason for tonight is so that we can create moments of availability. We can provoke moments of availability where the visitation of God does not end at an excitement of a visitation, but it proceeds to being usable. What am I trying to say? When Moses encountered the burning bush, he did not go giving a testimony of the burning bush. He went to Israel. He went to Egypt. When Moses encountered God at the burning bush, he did not come back and stay in awe for 6 months while I met the burning bush. No, he went immediately to Egypt because he had been empowered by the encounter. The encounter was meaningful. It was not a testimonial. It was not exciting. It was meaningful. It had produce, it had fruit, it had produce, it had fruit. He encountered God and his life was never the same again. It wasn't just a matter of, wow, 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 I met a bush and it was burning and we spoke and my staff turned into a snake and now, wow, 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 wow. You guys, you know, I met Jesus. You know, Jesus has been walking into my house. You know, I have a mat that is written welcome and I put it out there and Jesus comes. Or I serve tea, I put up two plates it does not just end at that. It produces something that is an answer to a cry of a nation. It produces something that is an answer to a cry of creation. So today, we will not just create opportunities and spaces and open up portals and portals for encounters so that you can come and tell us you had an encounter. No, we create portals for encounter and spaces to encounter God, to encounter the angelic, to encounter God, so that you can be usable and have reasonable impact of the encounters that you've had. First, it begins at the place where you can discern the moment. You can understand that this was not just a normal occurrence. This was not just an event that just happened for the sake of happening. You can discern that you've been in a moment. You've been in a moment that is beyond just a moment. And then secondly, it is not getting used to encounters. Why is it that you seek an encounter? Why is it that you've always answered that altar call to have an encounter, to have an angelic encounter, to have a supernatural encounter? Why? Because after you've encountered, there has to be a proceed of the encounter, and it is not just in your life, because every encounter by the Lord should be an answer, should make you an answer to someone's prayer, to someone's, and it is not just limited to someone, to a nation, to creation's cry. It shouldn't just serve for a good testimony that you encountered God, that Jesus walked into your house, that your house has angels, that you walk around with a million angels. It shouldn't just serve for a good testimony. It's good. It's good. It's exciting. It's exciting to have these supernatural encounters. It's exciting. You are permitted. You are allowed to be excited. But what is the proceed of that encounter? I like verse 7. It says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall minister to you. I also like verse 17. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. There's another one I like. Verse 16. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the priests, the breast of kings. So arise, shine. Your light has come. Your light has come. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Will be seen upon you. Amen. 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 Let me show you a few things. Let's go to Luke 1. We won't be long today. Luke 1, this is the story of Mary. Mary the one. Mm-hmm. Luke 1:20. Luke 1:26. Sixth month, the angel sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Amen. Amen. Are we together? So the angel said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So, here's a mama. This is how it's playing out in my head. She's doing her normal work, excited, almost getting ready to get married. So she's excited, she's there. And then this Gabriel walks in and strikes a conversation. This is the thing, when you read through scripture, you understand that the descriptions of angels vary a lot. The descriptions of angels vary a lot. In some instances, angels look like monsters. They have four wings, they have four heads, they have four faces, they have wheels, they have eyes on their wings. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. And here comes Gabriel. It is not described how his appearance was. It is not said that Gabriel came with two pairs of wings stuck out from his back in a white robe and silky hair, looking so fine, light-skinned Jama, buffed but with wings. It is not described like that. It is not described like that. In fact, that's scary. That's scary. The reason some of us are not having encounters is because we have pictures of what angels should look like in our minds. And so when we encounter them, they don't have wings, and so they don't pass for an angel, and we miss out. We have pictures in our minds from movies of how Jesus should look like. And if he does not come in sandals and a long free dress, then we miss out on a moment to encounter the King, because we have a built expectation that is not derived from our place of understanding and our place of encounters with God. Okay. So you meet a mama with a mkongojo, but you know, it's not an angel. Angels are male. They are male. Ni wanaume. Kusababu. So, inakuwa tough. The eyes of our spirits are blind, not that they cannot see, but they have been trained to picturize certain aspects of the supernatural from what we hear and what we have seen, and that is what we believe looks like those moments. And we miss out on moments of being answers to prayer because we watched a movie. Here's a woman who recognized that this is a moment because of how she was greeted. She says, and Mary was troubled because she wondered what kind of greeting that is. You are blessed and highly favored. You are blessed and highly favored. As my pastor would say, if today someone comes and tells you you are blessed and highly favored, and that is a moment where you need to see and catch an encounter, you will miss it. You will miss it. You will miss it. Because you are blessed and highly favored does not sound supernatural. It doesn't sound like this is it. This is it. It doesn't give you butterflies in your stomach and goosebumps on your hands. Let's read it again. And having come in, the angel said to her, you realize it's written, and having come in. So let's not assume that it was an abracadabra kind of situation where the angel just appeared in the living room. Because it's not descriptive. Let's not hinder ourselves to see how natural this moment was, that it needed a special insight, It needed a supernatural instinct on Mary to understand that the moment had changed. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" This is another thing. Have you ever been in church? Especially if you come from a Pentecostal church where it's fire for fire and by fire by force, and the fire comes by force during a service, and when it's there by fire by force, and God is speaking, and at that time people are crying. Because God is speaking, huh? And they are crying, and they are crying, and they are crying, and it gets a bit emotional, which is all good. So they are crying, and God speaks, and God speaks, and God speaks, and God speaks. And then the service ends. And that was an encounter moment. But no one remembers what God said because we were all crying. Or someone calls you, and instead of listening to what God is saying through them, you begin to cry, and you never remember what God said. So you have nothing to take back to build upon. You understand what I'm saying? You have nothing to take back with you to build upon, because at that time you are overwhelmed. You are overwhelmed. Here's Mary asking the nitty-gritty questions. Like, "Eh, manze unaniambia nitakuwa na mtoto, najua unasema God amesema, lakini hii kitu itakuwaje? Itakuwaje? How will it be? It does not indicate her lack of faith. It indicates how we ought to be at the place of encounter, so that we do not miss out on the impact that that encounter should have through our lives. So she is not outrightly asking because she does not see a way, but she is bringing to the question, "Manze, I want to really understand why and how this will happen." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, and it continues and continues. it becomes important. It becomes important for us to not leave that encounter God without opening up ourselves to answer, to ask of how it should be, to ask of how, because when I read how people encountered God in scripture, I see how they had conversations with him. They had conversations with him and they were asking, how is it that you're sending me to Egypt? How is it that you're telling me to do this? How will I go about A, B, C, D? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It does not just end up at the place of you will bear a son. I want to understand how I will bear a son. I want to understand what is it that I am carrying forth. It is a confidence before God that indicates maturity. It is a confidence that makes you understand that you are that it is not doubt, it is not questioning out of doubt, but it is that which brings you to the place to really and fully fathom that which you've been called into. So when the moment has presented itself, as it will be, as it should be, as it will be after this, that we will enter into those encounter moments, and from now it will not just be about the testimony that we carry after that. I bless God. There's that, there's knowing. And then there's the place where it is illustrated by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where they see an opportunity to create an encounter. They see an opportunity to create an encounter. So Nebuchadnezzar comes about. Let me look for that scripture. Nebuchadnezzar decides to put up a fire. And then Daniel 3. And then he says, he puts up an idol for worship. And he commands the entire people to worship him. This guy was nuts. He was just on another level. So guys should worship him. And then here comes the three Hebrew boys, and they come in and they're like, no, we can't do this. We cannot do this. Find the scripture in Daniel chapter 3. We cannot do this. And of course, because Nebuchadnezzar is nuts, he commands that the fire, how do you even multiply a fire? How do you come to say tuongeze moto mara saba? Like, is it seven more gas cylinders or seven more pieces of wood? Like how? Like that's how crazy that story is. Like let's put up the fire 7 more times. And these guys are like, it's okay. You guys put up the fire 7 more times, but you know this. You know and understand this. That we will not worship any other God because our God will deliver us. And even if he does not deliver us, then we don't care, but we will not worship any other God. These people provoke the heavens to encounter, for them to encounter, like they cause a standstill in the heavens that Jesus has to appear and they encounter Christ. So it is not just knowing the moment when it has presented itself, like when Gabriel walked up to Mary. It is knowing the moment that is ripe to cause an encounter. It is knowing that at this time, if I do A, B, C, D, I will open up the heavens and I will have an encounter with God. Do you see the flip side of this? That one, a moment has presented itself. Heaven has chosen Mary, and Mary gets to see that I have been chosen. But here is a moment where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego discern that in this moment, if we are absolutely clinging to God, then we open up the space to have an encounter with him. It is time that we stop putting up a fast that does not provoke encounters. If you decide today to go and fast for 3 days, and you don't encounter God, then you did not know how to set up the moment. It should be that when you set yourself to seek the face of God, you see the face of God. We see the same thing with Daniel. Daniel completely knows that there has been an order for not to pray. And he goes up and does pray in his, as it was his custom. As it was his custom. I started by saying that there are those that cry out for God, and there are those that God uses to provide an answer to them that have been crying out. There are those that cry out because it's become difficult. There are those that are crying out, not because that they want to experience, but life has become difficult. And then there are those that God uses to be an answer to them that life has become difficult to. The uprising that we are provoking today is not for the cry, because even creation can cry when things are bad. There is an uprising for the people who answer to creation. The people who know God, who know encounters and what to do with those encounters after they have encountered. Unajua kuna wase wako deep wanachaguliwa nguo na Mungu za kuvaa asubuhi wako. So deep. No, God aliniambia nivae hii na nilikuwa nataka kuvaa hii lakini God akaniambia nivae. Sishuku, sisemi I happen. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But ulienda tu kwa wardrobe ukavaa alafu hiyo story ikaisha hapo. Ndio ukuje utuambie ulichaguliwa nguo. What's wrong with us? Like, ni nini natusumbuanga? If God comes to the extent of telling you wear, don't wear suit A, wear suit B, shouldn't you see that this is a moment for me to interrogate why I should wear suit A so that I become part and parcel of why I'm putting on suit A? Come on, guys. Like, God amekuchagulia nguo. But wewe hawezi uliza kwa nini nimechaguliwa nguo leo. Like, you cannot take it further to understand why is it so special that ataniambia nivae A, B, C, D. After that tu unavaa, zinachafuka, unarudisha kwa wardrobe, mama wangu anakuja nafua, and then Sundays later unatuambia, unakumbuka ile siku au unajua mi God ananichagulia nguo za kuvaa nini, God ananiambia nganivae hii na hii, alafu wale wase wenye wanajua kuvaa, wako like, hey, we God anakuchagulia nguo, venye unakaanga fani. Because I'm in the space where I understand that it's not about being fashionable. God is not interested in making you fashionable. There is something that He wants to do when it gets to that space. There is something that is an answer. There is something that is an answer. It is a Mary being told she will carry Jesus kind of moment to be told by the Spirit of God, don't wear A, B, C, D, wear A, or don't use this route today, use this other route today. It is not a testimony. It is not just for testimonies. It is not just to make good testimonies. It is not just so that we can give you a title and a department to head. It is not just for that. It is not just, it has to have, there's an end result to every moment you encounter Christ. There's an end result. There's a bigger end result to every moment the heavens open up for you. There's a need that needs to be taken care of every time there's an encounter with the physical encounters, the supernatural. So Shadrach, Meshach, Daniel are good examples in scriptures of people who saw a moment that could open up the heavens, that could have a display of glory, They saw a moment for them to arise, shine. They saw a moment for them to arise. They saw a moment that was not, that could end either way. It could end with them being ashes or meat for the lions. But they saw a moment for them to tap into the heavens and command the heavens and open up the heavens so that there could be, they could provide an answer. Because at the end of these encounters, you realize Nebuchadnezzar said that no one else will be worshipped. No one else will be worshipped. No one else will be worshipped apart from the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nina imani. Let's go to Judges. Wasema kuwa wewe ndiwe shujaa. God is preparing us. God is preparing us to be answers. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They are our watu, waku cry out to the Lord. Imekuwa tough, so they cried out to the Lord. And you know, every time a cry to the Lord is being raised, God anaanza kutafuta. God starts looking for the individuals to answer that cry. Okay? So, when people begin to suffer, when people are hurt and they begin to cry out to God, God begins to look out for a person who can be sent to be an answer to that cry. What am I trying to say by the Spirit? What am I trying to say by the Spirit of God? That we should be alert to hear not just the... Listen to me carefully. We should be alert not just to hear the voice of God, but to hear when the people begin to cry. So when, for example, something that I've been seeing lately, na imekuwa ikinisumbua, ni manze, I don't know if you've noticed this on your timeline, or you might be among the people who are literally doing this. It's not a bad thing, but everyone is selling something. I don't know if you've noticed it on your timeline. Unafungua WhatsApp. WhatsApp imekuwa mall. Kuna mtu anauza viatu, mwingine anauza nguo, mwingine anauza masufuria. Like everyone is selling something. Everyone is selling something. Everyone is trying to make a buck because times are tough. It's not bad. I'm not saying it's a bad. I'm not there. But for me, that's a cry. Especially when you look at things and you see that they're selling things, but it's, how do I put this? Help me. Like you have five people who are selling shoes. And then the next week, another five who are selling the same product. That means that people are not actively engaging ideas, are not actively engaging in the space of ideas and creating ideas. People are doing this just to sustain themselves. It's a cry. It's a cry that something is wrong. Something needs to be happening. Something needs to be happening, and it needs to be happening differently. So what was I saying? I was saying that we ought not just to hear the voice of God, but we ought to be aware to hear when people are crying and when the creation is crying, because then we understand that God will be looking for someone to answer the cry. Like scriptures show us certain things in reverse. Like the children of Israel cry out and Moses is sent. The children of Israel cry out and Gideon is lifted. The children of Israel cry out and this person is lifted. What is scripture trying to tell us? What is the intelligence of the Spirit trying to tell us? That how do we position ourselves? How do we position ourselves to be used, to be answered? Is we need to be alert to hear the cry. When there is a cry, when people are crying, then we understand that the next step will be that God has to raise someone to be an answer to the cry of those people. So scripture has revealed, scripture reveals to us scenarios that allow us to position ourselves even before time. Because unlike for Moses, who was told, I have heard the cry of my people, we are in a position where we can be, we've already been enlightened by scripture to understand that this is a cry, and the next step will be that God will need someone to use. So I will be here because not only am I waiting, but by the Spirit of God, I have heard that people are crying out to you. Again, there are people who cry out, and then there are people who God uses to be the answer to the cries. The difference is that when a moment arises, the people who are used to as answers, they take the moment. Second, the people who are used as answers create opportunities for moments. They create an opportunity for heaven to invoke. As I was telling you with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they created, for them, a moment was not, the moment that was presented was not that of God speaking to them, but it was a moment that caused God to appear and speak. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the Tebnith tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Hey, of valor. You mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." Listen to this. "Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." Show me a sign. And then show me a sign that I know I have found favor. If I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who's talking to me. And then Gideon says, "Just wait here. I go and come back with an offering. Like, oh God. May God give us this wisdom. 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 So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the Tebnith tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So this guy is not even sure. He's not even sure, but he brings up a sacrifice. He brings up an offering. He brings up an offering to seal that moment, though he is not sure. And if you read, you understand that he goes ahead to even ask for more signs. But there's a unique wisdom that is placed in him, that he understands when God visits me, and it's surely him, if I bring him an offering, it will be consumed. It will be consumed. It will be consumed. You and I have to be strategically placed to avail answers, that every moment we spend with God, every moment we spend in God, every moment we spend with God is an answer to a nation, is an answer to a family, is an answer to a church. It is an answer. It is a complete answer. I am tired of the excitement without answers. I'm tired of fruitless encounters. Fruitless encounters that just serve for good testimonies. When you encounter God, it must provide a solution, not just personally, but it must provide a solution for communities, for nations, for industries. It must provide a solution. It must provide a solution. You meeting up with God is not just enough to solve your issues. It is not just enough to solve your issues. It must go beyond solving your issues. I'm being told to remind us this, to emphasize on this. It must provide solution. It must provide solution. It must have an impact. It must have an impact. Like we should be afraid to come and share testimony of us saying of a testimony of how we've come from an encounter, yet we've not delivered Gambia. Yet we've not delivered Namibia. Yet we've not delivered Zimbabwe. Yet we've not delivered Kenya. Yet we've not delivered 7 families. We should be afraid. We should be afraid. It should scare us. It should scare us that we met with God, that we encountered God, that we had an encounter, and it is still the same. It is still the same. And it's still the same. Look at the Samaritan woman, John 4. Look at the Samaritan woman. Let's go there. verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, in his one town in Uko Kawakale, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Ignorance is still playing out here. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Give me this water that I may not thirst or come here to draw." That's where it changes. That's where the conversation changes. The conversation changes when this woman realizes the moment she is standing in. The conversation shifts when this woman now begins to realize, wow, there's something different. 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 I decree that you're an answer to prayers. 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 You are an answer to prayers. You're an answer to prayers. You're an answer to prayers. You will not miss out on anything. Even the difficult ones that are not moments but can be pushed into becoming moments, that are not encounters, they're not encounters but can be transformed into becoming encounters. The simplicity of words, the simplicity of words, like "you are blessed and highly favored." And from that you realize this is not just a moment where you're being told you are blessed. No. The simplicity of words. The simplicity of words that carry dimensional weight with them. Father, I thank you. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. None among us will meet a stranger, an angel disguised in as a stranger, and pass by. None of us will be in a situation that, when we use that situation, will provoke the heavens open and pass by. None of us will hear the cry of people to God and fail to position themselves, because the next step after you hear the cry of your people is to bring out someone who will be an answer to that cry. None. None. I decree that we are available and usable. We are available and usable. We are available and usable. You are available and usable. God, like the thief on the cross, like the thief on the cross, who realized that his salvation was within, at hand. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to create, to seize, to interrogate these encounters. I thank you and I bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. From today, be very keen. Be very keen. Be very careful. Be very keen. Be very keen. Be very careful. Be very alert. Be very keen. Be very careful. Be very alert. Be very alert. Be very alert. The cry has ascended. There's just a need for men who will answer, who will become answers to that cry. Everywhere you will go from today, it is ordained. Your steps are ordained. Your steps are ordained. So you become keen. Unakuwa kama driver mwenye anaangalia side mirror. Unakuwa kama driver mwenye amepark town na anaogopa kushikwa na kanjo. Ako alert. Because every step you take is ordained. It is ordained. It is ordained. It is ordained for an encounter with God. It is ordained for an encounter, not just an encounter so that you can come and tell us I encountered God. No, it is ordained for an encounter so that Namibia can be delivered, so that Egypt can be delivered, so that Algeria can be delivered, so that Papua New Guinea can be delivered, so that families can be lifted from the messes that they are in. The hearts of the fathers can return to the hearts of the sons. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a good week. Have a beautiful week. We'll see you Monday. As I promised today, we won't be long. We'll see you Monday. We'll see you Monday. We'll see you Monday. We'll see you Monday. God bless you. And the blessings of the Lord are with you. Amen.